Gulpanag, welcome to the Biker Radio broadcast. Welcome to the long way home.
Thank you, Shishendu, for having me on the long way home. And I'm glad you were able to make the long way to my home.
Where should we start with your story?
Oh, it's my stories. I have many stories.
Okay, let's start with the Fauji Kid story.
I think that's not a choice, right? That's how you're, like a default space.
Right. So how many places have we been to?
I can recall from memory, my first memory of a 4G military station. I think that was a quasi-military station. Uh-huh. Since the difference between a cantonment and a military station is that a cantonment predates predates independence. So it's right. All military establishments set up during the British era were cantonments, and by default were porous because they required to deal with the civilian staff.
Right.
And military stations are insular and sealed places where there is no in and out of non-relevant entities.
Right.
So I think Sangrur qualifies as a quasi-cantonment because it wasn't big enough to matter in the British era, but whatever. I mean, it's sort of... So Sangrur was my first memory. Okay. My dad was posted there.
Okay. How old were you then?
I was about 3.5.
Wow.
And then Sangrur...
Did you have a cycle?
I did not know how to cycle. I think I may have had a tricycle. Yeah. Then was Patiala and a brief stint in Lucknow in the middle. My dad was in the... By the time I was born, my father was in the mechanized forces. And mechanized forces typically operate in places where tanks and... So my father was from the mechanized infantry.
Okay.
Which is, to layperson, looks like tanks.
Yeah.
But they're actually infantry combat vehicles.
Yes.
So nine infantrymen travel in addition to a crew of three, the driver, gunner, commander.
Right.
In a BMP, which is an acronym for Boy Mashina Pakota, which is Russian.
Say that again?
Boy Mashina Pakota.
Okay.
It is, I'm a mechanized infantry kid.
Go for it.
So the mechanized infantry has BMPs.
Okay.
And the armored corps has tanks.
Okay.
A tank has a much thicker armor, which is why armored corps. But all together, they are mechanized forces because they're mechanized. So my father shifted to the mechanized forces in the year that I was born.
Okay.
He already had 10-year service, then 11-year service.
Okay.
And as a result of that, all our movement thereafter was on terrain where mechanized forces could operate.
Right.
And we didn't go to like high places which could not have... although we did live in Ladakh for 2 years because... that was the first year they moved mechanized forces to Ladakh in 88.
Okay.
So I lived in Ladakh and studied in Ladakh for 2 years.
Wow.
So Delhi, then Ladakh, and then Wellington, which was in Tamil Nadu, then to Mao, which is the military headquarters of war, an acronym for military headquarters of war, then back to Wellington, then to Zambia. Because my dad was quite a teacher as well. So if you do well enough in your courses, the highest grade after Alpha is instructor's grade.
Ooh.
So if you're rated instructor, then you go and teach the very courses that you earlier attended, right?
Yeah.
So he went to set up the Staff College, which is the preeminent course for armed forces personnel, Army, Air Force and Navy, which they typically do at about 31, 32 years of age.
Okay.
And which sets them up for like the rest of their careers.
Right.
So Staff College is in Wellington. So he had two tenures there, both as instructor, three actually. Then he went to set up a Staff College in Zambia.
Probably one of the most beautiful parts
of
the country.
It is, yes.
And you were living inside.
In there, yeah. So that's also when they put me in boarding school because we were lucky enough that Lawrence School Lovedale was close by. And because
you're from Lawrence Lovedale.
Well, not technically, I only did 2 years, but I guess that's good enough. My husband was in the same school and he did 7 years, 5 years.
Which years are these?
So I was in Lovedale from 92 to 94.
And you were in which standard?
Ninth and 10th.
Ninth and 10th.
And the thing is, Lovedale and Sanar, both sister schools set up by Henry Montgomery Lawrence for initially wards of defense personnel.
Right.
Are very preferred educational institutes for the 4Gs because we get a discount there because the schools are built on defense land.
Right.
The only two public schools of stature that we are able to afford is because there's a between a 30 to 40% discount on tuition and total fees for armed forces families. And that's how we ended up at, that's how a lot of armed forces kids end up in a Sanar or in a Lovedale.
Right.
So I did 2 years there and then we moved to Zambia.
Right.
And then we went back to Patiala and then we went to Jodhpur. In all of this, the multiple movements resulted in me changing 14 schools, which includes
That's
2 years in a boarding school, which includes 2 years in boarding school and yeah. 2 years in an international school in Lusaka, Zambia.
Right.
So sometimes there were moves twice a year. So that's my schooling story.
Biker Radio Podcast advises safety at all times, discourages underage riding, but celebrates the spirit of motorcycling.
And how?
This is Tango Charlie, Green Tea 515. Come in. Green Tea.
Good morning, Tango Charlie. This is Easy Peter, Green Tea 515. I'm ready to roll. See you in 5 at the DND Bay. Over and out.
And welcome to the 95th milestone of the Biker Radio Broadcast, a podcast on motorcycling from India, celebrating her heroic riders, legendary mechanics and iconic builders through stories told by members of the community, one legend at a time. I'm Shandy, and Gulpanag's in the house! Well, a big thanks to our guardian angel, Urvashi Patole, for making our dash to the century milestones dazzling. Well, we've always had Gul on our guest wish list, not because she's been a top model, a Miss India, a famous film and TV actress, but for being an outdoorsy, motor-heady kind of person. And that despite her stardom. She's a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mother, a pilot, a runner, a fitness buff, a dog lover, an entrepreneur, a conscious citizen, and so much more as we are going to learn over the next two milestones. So Biker Radio Broadcast invited itself over to her home, a lovely warm nest, as she currently shares time between Mumbai and Greater Noida in the NCR. She is a Fauji kid who grew up around the Russian boy Mashina Pakyota's. Gul too wears formidable armor as she carries with her the delicate cargo of the lives of her near and dear ones. Embellished with some of the music that's kept her company over the years. Welcome to another language chat on the long way home. I asked her if she, being an army kid, missed friends that you had to leave behind with having to change schools every couple of years.
No, I don't think we do. We don't miss anyone because we're so self-contained.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
We have to be.
You have to be.
You make friends and you enjoy them for the period that you're there because you know you're going to leave.
And you don't even know that, you don't experience it until you're a little grown up to figure out loss.
I think by about class 7, you begin to figure out friends.
Yeah.
And my first fast friend, like a friend that stayed over the years.
Yes.
Also because we were able to, our dads got posted frequently together.
Another 4G kid.
Yeah, of course, within the 4G realm.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even talking about non-4G kids here.
Right.
Because our exposure to 4G kids was more, A, because we went to the same school typically, and we lived in the same area. And the 4G community is a very social community. So there'll be social thingies that are happening in the evening that kids will meet over, our parents meet. And some places like Staff College in Wellington or the military headquarters of War Mau tend to be more community driven because Staff College is typically people of the same seniority doing the course. So 30, 31 years of age, so about 10 years of service.
Yeah.
The instructors are typically people who've just finished command, so they'd be 20 years of service.
Mm.
So the ratio of instructors, I forget, you know, I remember it was about 14 to 1.
Okay.
So there'll be a lot of instructors at the rank
14
of,
to 1?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is one syndicate. 14 to 16 people is one syndicate.
Okay.
So the directing staff or the instructors, as they are called, are a significant number.
Mm.
And the student officers are a significant number. The student officers come and go every 9 months. The directing staff typically stays for about 3 years.
Okay.
So that is the one time that you meet people, I mean those kids who are privileged enough to have their fathers doing well enough to become instructors at Staff College.
Right.
That is really where the first bond is made, because there are two interesting parts to it. One is that your dads are all the same seniority.
Right.
So they've within that 100, 200 pool of people, at least 15, 20 will be literally your batch from IMA.
Right.
Or NDA.
Yeah.
Or then subsequent course mates, and then you keep doing courses together over the years. So they'll know each other. So your parents, that'll be the most social time your parents will have in their careers.
Right.
And then at military headquarters of war, which is again a more competitive course. So lesser people make it for that.
Right.
But the people who make it from that are two batches. Mm-hmm. So it's the year of this year and the year before that. So again, people who've been together since they were in NDA and IMA, same age. So therefore, the kids are typically the same age. So between Wellington and Mao is when kids will spend the maximum amount of time with people on a repetitive basis.
Right.
As a result of that, my first real friend was in class 7. Because before that, we changed schools too frequently and we were in non-family stations, like right. Ladakh. Oh. I had no friends back home.
Right.
So I would go to school, we would travel from a place called Karu to Leh, 36 kilometers one way.
Yes.
And it's not like 36 kilometers of Delhi Noida.
36 kilometers in 88.
In the hills.
Right? Was that not 88?
88, 89.
88, 89, yes. Right.
Yeah. It's a long time. It's an hour's journey on a road which hasn't pretty much changed. And I was the only kid because at
How
that
time... How
was
the road then?
It's the same as it is now. It wasn't bad.
Right.
I mean, but it's a narrow road in parts, so there's no overtaking and stuff. And I actually had to go in a one ton. There were two other children from another place, but those kids weren't in my class. So I never saw them after getting off the bus.
We used to love piling onto the Shaktiman and just going around.
The Shaktimans were there when I was in Delhi, Delhi at the Army Public School.
Yeah.
There were so many of them.
Yeah.
And in my first time at Army Public School, I actually went on the wrong bus. As a class 3 kid.
Okay.
Because there were so many.
Right.
And I was used to going to a school where there was one Shaktiman or one Ami bus that was coming. And then suddenly I was in the wrong school and I'm wrong bus. And I'm like, my God, I'm in the wrong bus. So yeah, I mean, it's been many, many years. But
family has always been part of it, is right?
I mean, it's the core of it, right?
Yeah.
Because that is the one thing that keeps you anchored. You may go wherever you are.
Yeah.
But some things remain the same, the family dog and your parents.
Right.
These are your constants. In fact, your family dog tends to be more your constant because your parents are out with their obligations. As fathers have their own roles, mothers during field or peace tenures have significant amount of responsibilities towards
like
AWA.
Correct. Right.
And as you go, as you sort of rise up the hierarchy.
For people who don't know, AWA is Army
Wives Welfare Organization.
Wives Welfare
so Organization. Once you become a brigadier, then the brigadier's wife in an operational role has an equivalent office. It's like President AWA office.
Yes.
And then my mom was President AWA in Patiala, then in Hisar, then in Bhopal, and then in Udhampur and Lucknow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an actual office. Annie?
I
mean, Annie is like her name that everybody called her by, but her written name on documentation is Gurjeet. So she had an office and a staff because it's a role, and it's not like a extracurricular little flirtation that senior wives do. It's
serious stuff.
It's ex officio.
Yeah.
Being that officer's wife means you have to run this, and there is that office with two officers attached to look into the welfare of the families.
Right.
It runs schools, it runs vocational institutes, and it's also the front line to address domestic crisis.
Absolutely.
That may or may not be brewing. Wives of soldiers will be counseled in the event of, you know, them saying, oh, but we get to live so far away from our husbands, and which is the reality.
It is true.
Your family anchors you. You move every 8, 9, 10 months.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's always constant is that no matter where you go, the family setup remains the same. Hi, this is Gulpanag, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
I'm coming back home.
Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, this is Shivrat Singh, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Where does the motorcycle come in?
So my own earliest set of wheels actually came during college in Patiala.
Okay.
But women in my family have been riding bikes since the 1970s.
Really?
So for me, it was not like a big deal.
Women in your family since 1970s?
Dad, yes, my dad's sister rode a bike in the 70s. In fact, my own dad's bike. So when my dad used to have an Enfield in the 70s, and his sister was like, I'm going to ride it.
Yeah.
And
what Bua is that?
My dad's older sister.
Yeah. What's her name?
Boli.
Boli Bua.
Yes. Okay. So Boli Bua used to ride a bike. In fact, at my wedding, she was on a bike as well. So when we...
Achha, that's
she's
the woman?
She's the gray-haired lady who was riding...
I have a question
the
about
big,
that.
Big troop of bikes.
Yes.
So she rode a bike. And, you know, I mean, a bike is just a two-wheeler.
Right, absolutely.
It's not very different from a Chetak or a
sure.
any other geared scooter or a non-geared Luna.
Yeah.
The balance remains the same.
Yeah.
But somehow we are conditioned that bikes will be for guys and the non-geared, just like automatic ones will be for girls, because while we can balance, but we'll get confused to change the gears. And
one of our idiosyncrasies.
I mean, it's bizarre. So I think they were... most army wives, my bua was also an army wife, is an ex-army wife, I guess now. My uncle is retired. They had the family scooter.
Hmm.
So she used to ride the scooter.
Right.
I mean, there's no other way to get around,
correct.
Right? I mean, what do you do when, you know, you have to do groceries and stuff? Yeah. And then my dad got the bike. She said, I'm going to learn how to ride the bike. Then I was living in Chandigarh briefly for about a year, studying in KV Chandigarh, living with my aunt, same aunt, Boli Bua. And her two daughters were to go to college. And a bike ended up being one of the modes of transportation, very interestingly. So my
grandfather... For the daughters also?
Yes, because these two girls
that's interesting.
86.
Okay.
In Chandigarh rode bikes to college.
Yeah.
Probably so the only girls who'd been seen on a motorcycle.
Right.
I hadn't seen anybody else on a bike.
You got to hand it out to Punjab. Punjab always has got women and motorcycles is not an uncommon sight.
Certainly not now. I mean, now I see girls on motorcycles wearing salwar kameez at my village.
Right.
Like, I come from a part of Punjab called Malwa.
Okay.
So, whatever.
What's your village called?
Mahadia. So, our area is a rural area.
Okay.
And I've seen enough girls, but a lot of colleges. Right. But a lot of colleges.
Right.
It's now becoming the nearest town is called Fatehgarh Sahib, and that's become a bit of a university town because the SGPC set up many colleges there, and now there's some private colleges as well, and a lot of girls riding bikes there. I think my aunt rode a bike, so it was the most natural thing when there was a bike available,
right,
that, you know, their daughters would ride bikes to college. And what's interesting is that the bike that was in question was a Hero Honda. And how it came to be in our possession was my grandfather, who at the time lived at our farm in the village. He used to have a Luna. And he heard about a scooter type Luna, the Kinetic Honda. But those are the days where you booked something without even seeing it.
Right.
I'm talking 85.
Yeah.
85. And he booked the... What was shown to him on paper was the Kinetic Honda.
Yeah.
But what got booked was the Hero Honda.
Oh my God.
So he booked this.
How did that happen?
Because that's what the dealer did.
Was it past 8 p.m.?
No, you know, I just think that the consumer centricity of our retail space was zero.
Yes.
You were for like a year after booking a car.
Right.
Right? So he booked this, and 8 months later, they've called him to take delivery, and it's a motorcycle. He says, that's not what I asked for. And he said, but this is what we've got now.
Right.
So then he took it, and it had to be sold. So before it got sold, for about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, it was hanging around. And my cousins had just gotten into college. And they'd required something to go to college on. So the motorcycle became what they used. And then it was not just my cousins. So it was like my aunt used to teach at the school that I was studying at.
Okay.
And that particular school she used to go to on a Bajaj Chetak.
Okay.
And the girls needed to go on their own transportation. And they used to go on the Hero Honda. Because the colleges were next door.
Right.
They were adjacent.
Right.
And then sometimes the Chetak would be with somebody else and my aunt would take the motorcycle. So it was like, we didn't see the motorcycle as a device of emancipation.
Right.
It was something that was there to be ridden.
Right.
I mean, there was no difference between the... the Bajaj Chetak or the Hero Honda from the family standpoint. And subsequently, then that Hero Honda got sold because eventually it was my grandfather's.
Mm.
And he got the Kinetic Honda, which is what he actually originally wanted. It took about a year and a half for the whole thing to happen. But that's how the bike entered the picture. And I always remember the look of awe on people's faces when my cousins would ride the bike.
I'm sure.
I used to be sent to get, you know, to do errands on my cycle, and I would see her like zooming by on the bike.
Hmm.
And the people would just be looking like this. Right. Men, women, children. Right. Looking
understandably.
At them. So then I got lucky when I was in college, the same Kinetic Honda still existed 10 years later. It was a hand-me-down. So I got that.
Lovely.
And I was riding it. And then my cousin was getting posted out to the valley, and he said, I'm not taking my bike, I'm going to park it here with you. I said, can I then ride it? So that's how I started riding the bike.
What were you riding?
350.
Really?
So I rode
that. No, that's a step up.
Not really. Like, it's just...
No?
I mean, if I look back, so about half the time in college in Patiala, I rode my cousin's bike.
Right.
So okay. I had my main sort of wheels were a Kinetic Honda.
Yeah.
But I also had the Enfield parked at home because he was gone for about 10 months.
Okay.
And then I used the bike for those... I had to ride it because, you know, what happens to an Enfield if you don't ride it every day? Bad things.
Yeah.
So I used to ride it every other day to make sure that, you know, it was...
Yeah.
It was kept alive.
The wheels kept turning.
Yeah, till he came back from his course. No, actually, I think he was going on a course. So the 8-9 months that he was gone, I rode the bike regularly because nothing went wrong with the Kinetic Honda for not riding it. But the Enfield, particularly this is the old cast iron engine bike, so it had to be ridden every day.
Right.
Literally. Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen. Connect. Ride on.
Lay down your arms and surrender to me. Oh, lay down your arms and love me peacefully.
Hi, I'm Major Renuka.
I'm Candida Lewis.
I'm Pallavi Fauzar.
This is Wing Commander Jyoti Mehta.
This is Sarah Kashyap.
This is Dr. Niharika Yadav.
This is Anita Krishnan.
I'm Noah.
This is Niharika Singh Dalal.
I'm Shabnam Akram.
This is Jay Bharti.
This is Urvashi Patole.
Hi, my name is Anam Hashim.
This is Maral and you're listening to Biker Radio Broadcast.
Listen.
Connect. Ride on.
You've been having a really good time, I must say.
I've been having a really good time, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And wheels and wheels and wheels and wheels, all kinds of wheels now.
I think I've always associated wheels with like setting me free and being something that that gave me wings. I mean, it sort of... I felt independent and I felt like I was the master of my own destiny. The moment I stepped into college and...
But you already had that from mom and dad, from what I see.
No, of course. But you see, the thing is, as a 16, 17-year-old, you're still very much part of a package at home.
Okay.
Like you go out. I mean, I've been driving since I was 16. It was 15 maybe.
Okay.
I was tasked with taking out the car from the garage because all our boxes, which were not being used every day, like the fancier linen or not utilized stuff, was all... put in the garage. And the garage used to be like a tunnel.
Right.
So just enough space for the car to go in.
Right.
But all around, left, right and front boxes.
So
when a particular box had to be accessed, then the car had to be taken out.
Right.
So I actually learned how to reverse the car first.
Right.
It used to first get pushed out and I'd just be at the wheel. The first time that I actually did my own thing was the first day I went to college.
Right.
On my own sort of, my second or third day of college when I went to college on my own two wheels.
Right.
Which was at the time the Kinetic Honda.
Right.
And I think that was...
Well, 94...
College was 96.
96, okay.
So that to me was true emancipation. I really like felt like... Again, it was no... Again, so when I go back and say bike, two wheels, if the Hero Honda had been around, that would have been my two wheels. It's just that it was a hand-me-down bike. It was with my grandfather and, you know, in the armed forces, we're always short on cash. So there was no way my parents were going to buy me something. They just didn't have the money.
Right.
And that's how I ended up using the Kinetic Honda, which, by the way, I had to get the piston changed off.
I'm sure.
Because it was really old by then. It was like almost 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, when the piston had to be changed, my father insisted I go and sit at the workshop, lest they put a second-hand piston.
I like your dad already.
So every time any vehicle had to be serviced, I had to sit at the service station.
That's the only way to do it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a tip I picked up over the years.
Why don't you have your coffee?
No, my coffee's good.
Yeah.
Your coffee's done?
My coffee's done. No, I got some. So motorcycling went on?
So I think...
Or was it just commute?
So it was commute to begin with.
Right.
And I think most people start their motorcycling journey as commuters.
Absolutely.
Right? In India, we are a commuter first motorcycling country. We're not like a motorcycling country. You know, in America, you buy a bike out of choice because you have cars available cheaper as a means of commute. In India, we didn't have that. We still don't have that.
Absolutely.
So I started off commuting. And then I think the interest in bikes was probably when I began working. And that was around the same time that I met my husband. He used to have a BMW F650. That
really?
Early lot. He still has it, actually. I mean, it's part of our collective stable now.
He's a biker as well.
I don't know if...
Okay,
Again, I've always wondered what is a biker. Okay. Every person who commutes to work in India is a biker.
Yeah, I mean, no, but somebody who says, no, I don't want a motorcycle in my garage is not a biker.
But I don't think that's a choice for most people in this country.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fair enough.
So, you know, I've always wondered that this... by default in India, given that biking and bikes are a means of commute.
Absolutely.
Like, whatever percentage of people own bikes in the country, that's the percentage
of
bikers we have.
That's where I started. All of us start there.
And then
there.
I think there comes a time when you start looking beyond your day-to-day life and you start looking for avenues to explore.
Yeah.
That is where you become a traveler or a person who has a hobby to pursue.
Correct.
And that is when your said bike
becomes
your bike to go do something else with.
Right.
But the bike primarily remains, I mean, unless you're privileged enough to have like a bunch of bikes in your stable, it starts off as your commuting device and then becomes your means to escape and unwind and explore. So...
What about you? Did you, beyond the commute to college, did you...
At that time, no. I
nothing
think my
at all.
My and I think for me, just riding to college was the only thing that I did during those days. Mm. And
which college is this?
This is the Government College for Girls in Patiala.
Okay.
And we... So subsequently, in 2000, I mean, I met Rishi sometime around 97 and I knew he had a BMW F650 and I was quite enamored by the fact it was a big bike compared to what other bikes you'd seen at the time. It clearly like towered over the biggest bike I had seen, which was the Enfield.
So you guys are college mates?
No, in fact, he was a senior from boarding school and then met again through some, you know, common connections later. And the fact that he had a bike and then he chose to buy a bike, you know, when he could have bought a car.
Right.
Was something that I found very interesting. And then later, when we started dating, I was like, I have to learn to ride this bike. And it's a really tall bike.
Right.
So,
but you're a tall girl.
No, but it's still a very tall bike. I mean, I'm barely... In fact, he also keeps a saddle for his height, right? Mm-hmm. So my first fall was a static fall from that bike. Because I had ridden it and I was turning around to see where he was. And I lost my balance and I couldn't stop the fall because it was heavy enough for me. And I wasn't quite... I didn't know a thing or two about handling that class of bikes.
Right.
Then subsequently did some courses and figured, you know... Those bikes, the Funduro, Enduro class of bikes is something that I then figured and learned much about over time. Hi, this is Gulpanag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, this is Harshman Rai, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
जाने सिलगुडी म जाने सिक्किमतिर.
सो आई थिंक my collective interest in biking beyond commuting came to some extent from Rishi and being exposed to a bike which purely is on a commuting bike.
Right.
It's actually a tourer and an adventure bike.
Yeah.
So we did a trip to Ladakh back in 2002.
Right.
On that bike.
Right.
When Ladakh wasn't on the horizon.
Right.
And
2002.
And we went up on the on the F650 and my mother-in-law was like, I can't send you guys alone on a bike. So she said, you know, I'm going to send my other son in the car just in case there's a problem.
Okay.
And my younger brother was at the time visiting me. He also went to Lovedale.
Yeah.
And he was spending his summer holidays with me. And he,
what's his name?
Sherbir.
Okay.
And he had no option but to accompany.
Yeah.
Because if I was going somewhere, then he was spending the summer with me, right?
Yeah.
So they came on in the car,
mm-hmm.
and then over time it became really cold and I was like, I'm going to go back sit in the car for some time. So it was that one car and Zen, in fact,
yeah,
and one Zen and the F650 that went up to Ladakh.
Well,
and the thing is, I had lived in Ladakh, so I was pretending to be the subject matter expert about Ladakh. And they were like, what kind of clothes should we pack? I said, nothing, it's summer in Ladakh.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We just wear light sweater in the, which is true. When it's, you know, in summers in Leh,
yeah.
June and July, it can
yeah.
be pretty hot. Like,
brutal.
You, even in the evening, even a sweatshirt becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I had never driven to Leh.
Mm.
I had flown to Leh as a kid multiple
right.
times. And you know, I'd spent all, you know, all seasons. But,
right.
so I said, oh, it's summer and we should just carry a light sweater for the evening. But then there was Rohtang en route, there was Barlacha en route. And this is the time when, you know, Barlacha, when the road used to open, used to still have like 15 feet of snow on either
Correct.
Side, like a tunnel of
yeah.
tunnel of snow. So they hated me for it, you know. They were like, you've not made us carry any woolens.
The domain expert
And you tell us that. So that was a bit of an adventure. And the other thing was,
yeah.
the trailer of that adventure actually happened on day one. Day
yeah.
two when we reached Manali.
Okay.
And the bike.
So Delhi. Start from Delhi
so
or Chandigarh?
No,
Delhi.
They were Delhi based and we started from Delhi but did not have the discipline to leave early in the morning.
Oh God.
So left at 2 p.m.
Oh my God. So you would
it's
be...
hot and dead.
Yeah.
And after 2 p.m. At 3:30 I was like, I'm not sitting on the bike anymore.
Hmm.
So I went and sat in the car.
Hmm.
And there was my husband riding and the three of us in the car. Like, it's too hot to ride now. We finally reached...
When did you guys get married? Sorry, I didn't do my research.
We got married 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
But I think that trip kind of for me was the decider that this is the person I want to marry.
Wow.
So he had said we should leave at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
And I was like, we're on a holiday. Why should we wake up and leave at 6?
Right.
And his brother and I are almost the same age.
Okay.
He was only a year senior to me at boarding school.
Okay.
So he was like, yeah, it's a holiday. Why should we leave so early?
Right.
And my brother is significantly younger.
Okay.
He was like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
So here we are leaving at 2 p.m. So we finally reached, I can't even remember where we stayed. I think we reached Chandigarh and then we reached Pando.
Right.
Oh my God. That was a drive from death. So we left Delhi at 2 p.m. and reached Pando at 12 at night.
Right.
That would be, that sounds right, yeah?
Yeah, sounds
right. Yeah,
absolutely.
And reached Pando at 12.
Yeah.
And then obviously, because we reached late. See, when you start on a long trip, you start late and then it's a cycle of being late.
Yes.
Day two, we reached Manali and we were like, oh, all easy. And then at 2 o'clock or 3:30 maybe, or maybe 4, after like a lazy lunch. No, we reached the top of Rohtang at 8. So 8 minus 3. So we must have left at about 4:35 from Manali.
Hmm.
Now the bike climbs much faster than the car.
Yes.
All the woolens were in the car. Manali,
oh,
we were in t-shirts.
Oh my goodness.
So we reached up on top of Rohtang at 8:30 at night. When all the other cars are coming down. And the car... 8:30 at night. I don't know what we were thinking. And
yeah.
And of course, at this point, like, Rishi is upset. He's like, what kind of bunch of children have I got stuck with? And we've reached 8:30 at night on top of Rohtang, and the car take it was a Zen. The
yeah.
car took about 45 minutes to fetch up.
Right.
And we hung around, like, literally sitting next to the silencer till the car came and we wore woolens.
Mm.
And promptly, this comfort seeker that I was, I jumped back into the car, and my husband's younger brother Rustam took pity. He said, "You know what? You've been riding, no, I'll ride."
Mm.
So he geared up, armor jackets and, and pants and boots and everything. He had all the gear. So that's quite warm, but that was all lying in the car. We only had helmets. So we sat back in the car, Rustam got fully geared up, and then we went to Keelong.
Oh my God.
We had to go somewhere, right?
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Where did you stop?
There was
nothing.
Cars. There was nothing.
Yeah.
It was a small little dhaba at Grumfu. Yeah. Where we had some food with truck drivers.
Yes.
And then we reached Keelong at 12 and the town had shut down.
Right, obviously.
So we knocked on a couple of doors. One guy opened the door and that's how we sit at the hotel. And from then on, we said, okay, we've got to start leaving early now. And then we sort of caught up, and that was the first trip that we did together.
Did you take a break a day at Keelong?
We had already had our...
So no acclimatization, nothing? Just
when you're driving up, you don't need to acclimatize as such because it's very gradual. I mean, most people will go from Manali, stay the night, and now, of course, Jispa is only 2 hours, 3 hours.
Mm.
But back in the day, you would do Jispa and Pang if you were lucky enough to get a place to stay. And if you were not a 4G kid, then you had no place to stay anyway. So we were able to stay at Patsyo because there was a transit camp there.
Yes.
And from Patsyo, then we stayed at Pang.
Mm.
And at the time, there was no bridge on the little riverlet that gets you into Pang.
Yeah, what was it? Biski Nala. Wasn't that?
I think, I'm not sure.
It had a nice name.
It had water. And then there were no cars. We didn't encounter a single car. Yeah. There were only 4G trucks and civilian trucks putting supplies in Ladakh. And we...
And the Zen was low as...
Poor thing. Yeah. I can't even believe. There's a picture of us. And you know, Rishi's anticipating this. He said, you know, I think you may need to tow the Zen at some point. Yeah. We have a picture of us doing a recce and a trial of towing the Zen with the F650 at Jispa.
Really?
I'll send it to you.
Wow.
And that picture. And then finally, there was a water body we had to cross where the water went up above the wheel arches of the Zen. The bike went across easily. Completely drenched. And then once we were at Pang, then of course from Pang to Leh was no trouble. There was a shorter drive still. Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite.
Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, this is Mihir Mishra, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
But what made you make up your mind that this is the guy?
Because he was just, we were such, the way he kept his head, but all about him was like chaos.
Right.
And I think road trips bring out true character.
True.
And if you want to be friends with somebody, you should go on the road trip with them to judge them whether they'll be friends or not after that.
But day five, I think there's a... I don't know whether it's a myth or if you've experienced it. Day five is relationships, friendships, things just go for a toss
I think it's a test.
Yeah, it's the test.
Because you've been in the car or on a bike for really long.
Yeah.
And it truly... And I feel you, because you're out of your comfort zone,
right,
it reveals your true character.
Yeah.
So
we were talking to Vijay Parmar about it, and he's the one who told us.
Oh, day five, is it? I've never ridden with him. But
day five is like
that cousin who used to ride a bike in college. She does every ride that Vijay does.
Okay,
so she's relocated to Chandigarh. Simran.
Okay,
so she has a bunch of bikes now, three BMWs, and depending on the kind of ride, then it whichever is the one. Now in our extended family stable. We have this F650 that is still up and running. My brother has a 1200 GSA. She has that 990 ZXR.
Okay.
Is that what it's called? I can never keep track of the names. I mean, why don't they name them like in series?
I just saw a Triumph outside.
Oh, that's mine.
Yes.
But tomorrow, I'm going to ride every single bike that was launched last year because I'm on the jury of Siddharth Patankar's... what should I call it? Awards. So he used to run the NDTV Karan Bike Awards.
Yes.
Then Karan Bike became an independent entity after exiting NDTV.
Yeah.
Then he exited Karan Bike and set up Aqua Drive.
Oh, okay.
So I've been on his Karan Bike jury since 2000. I'll get to know tomorrow because somebody will remember. So all these bikes that I'm talking about, I ride them, every single one of them on the BIC.
Okay.
But I can't remember their names.
Right.
And... I think it's a 900.
Hey, the BIC is right here, right? Yeah, yeah. Just like, yeah, how far is it?
It takes 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Nice.
So the ZXR. She has that. Then there's another BMW she has that's like a... I just wish there was like a pattern, right?
It's got
to
be a GS, right?
No, it's not a GS.
Oh, really?
It's a GS-ish bike. I can ask her. And then I have this Triumph.
Yeah.
I have a Jawa.
Yes.
Which is not here right now because...
Right. I wanted to see it. Is it the Parak?
No, it's the 42.
Okay.
It's a lime green 42.
Nice.
Which I bought in an auction when Anupam was the very first line of bikes that rolled out of the assembly plant.
Okay.
Were all auctioned and the funds given to the Army Flag Foundation.
Okay.
Army Flag Foundation.
Yes.
And
I think I know about
mine
this one.
Actually has, the chassis has my date of birth on it.
Nice.
But it's gone to it's gone to the dealership. It had some work to be done.
Okay. It's it, sir?
No, there's a challenge. It turns out that the dealership has exited the business.
No. Does your bike sit here?
Yeah, all the bikes sit here now.
Okay.
Bombay, I only have one Enfield.
Okay.
Which is the old cast iron 350 electric.
You still have it?
Yeah, I still have it.
Wow.
It's actually going to Verdenchi now.
Okay.
For a
That's nice.
Restoration job.
Wow.
So Akshay is going to do some magic with it. Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. Can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, I'm Vijay Parmar and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
What is that one ride that you enjoyed the most? Would it be the Ladakh one?
No, subsequently we did another ride. And I'm going to talk about the kind of riding group that I ride with and why I don't end up riding with outsiders.
Okay. You're a solo person?
No, I have
or
my own
group?
Gang. My whole family. Within my family, we have like 8-9 bikes.
Really?
Right. So my two cousins.
Okay.
They ride.
Bua's daughters.
Bua's daughters.
Right.
The younger one, Simran, she's taken to the next level. Like every weekend she's riding, and now she's a marshal for BMW as well.
Right.
For all the BMW organized rides.
Really?
She's, it's her full-time hobby.
Wow, that's going to be
you must interview her if you feel that.
There you go,
sort of
the Panags, one season of the Panags.
Yeah, keeping up. So my brother did a ride recently in Scotland, and before that he did a ride somewhere else to Spiti. Or somewhere. So my brother, my husband, my husband's brother, my two cousins. And then we're a bit of a lot. We end up doing a ride or two together. But because we're able to only make this happen like once in a year or two. And then that's the one ride. My cousin has turned it into a full-time hobby now.
Right.
She's only riding.
Right.
So her kids are sort of grown up and do their own thing. And
right.
Every Sunday she's riding on a trail ride. She's been to Upper Mustang. She did this new road as well. Padum.
Right.
The Darcha to left to Padum with Vijay.
Yeah.
And she's Abibi. I think she recently went somewhere else on another ride. Jammu Srinagar ride they also did.
Okay.
Where they went from...
Do you guys call yourself something?
No, I mean, we're just... No, but that's an organized ride. So, she recently went with Vijay and did the road from Chandigarh to Srinagar in one day. That's not my kind of riding. That's not my kind of riding.
Right.
At all.
Right.
No, so, she's gone into that league now.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's a full-time hobby.
Right.
And for me, an ideal riding distance is about 4 hours, 5 hours a day.
Right.
I don't want to ride to a point where I'm exhausted.
Right.
I want to soak in and see what I'm doing. So, one of the nicest rides I've done is up to a place called Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Wan is a roadhead onto the Rupkund Trek.
Okay.
So, we went from Delhi to Haridwar on the Canal Wala road, which is like empty.
Yes, and beautiful.
And beautiful. And it was good weather that day, even though it was like, I think it was October. And it was still nice weather.
Early morning?
No, actually we left... Around 8-ish, it was, but it was this overcast kind of weather.
Yeah.
Reached Haridwar, aram se in the evening, there was 5 of us.
Mm.
So typically when we are going, we will usually let in one friend
mm-hmm.
or two. Mm-hmm. Or then somebody will not want to ride, but they will they'll just want to come along and, you know, follow us in the car and do stuff like that. That was a really, really, really enjoyable ride. I mean, and then from there, the next day, we rafted the next day. And the day after that, we went to one. And then I think that was one of the more enjoyable rides. The other really...
Who all were there on the ride?
So there was, again, Rustam. That's my husband's brother, my husband and me. And another guy called Nishant.
Okay.
He was also riding the infield, although he rides a big bike.
Which year is this?
This must be about 7-8 years ago. Maybe longer.
Okay.
And...
So what makes it memorable?
I just think that it was the lack of other vehicles on the road is what, for me, riding is about. I don't enjoy riding to Manali. For me, the ride starts at Manali.
Right.
In fact, now, unfortunately, at Jispa.
Right.
So, what is my ideal ride is to have the bikes flatbedded to a spot. And that's really how I...
Makes perfect sense.
I refuse to do a Delhi Chandigarh.
Right.
I refuse to do a Delhi Dalhousie.
Right.
It's just no fun.
That's transport sector, right?
That's transport sector. So what we typically do is we get the bikes flatbedded to the nearest big gateway to the hills, which is where your big rush is still.
Mm.
And you start riding out from there.
Nice.
Because that's the real... I mean, most of the friends that I know who bike, that's what they do. They get their bikes positioned to a particular place and from there they ride up.
Different strokes for different folks. Some enjoy the canter, some the gallop. It's the racetrack for some, while for others, it's just the art of their palate. Motorcycling in India is rich from its diversity, the different kinds of people, the charmed lives they lead outside their day jobs. Doctors, engineers, lawyers, bankers, judges, teachers, godmen, sportsmen, musicians, painters, actors, the list is formidable. We'll be back with another milestone on the long way home with former Miss India, model, actress, runner and entrepreneur Gulbanag, where we ask her about her being the change and fighting the elections as she did after Anna Hazare's Jan Lokpal Andolan.
If you're not going to be a stakeholder in governance, then you'll get what you deserve.
Sure.
You are somebody who's made that decision to be the change, literally.
I think I was foolhardy, perhaps, in hindsight.
Fair enough.
But India was looking for change.
Yes.
Desperately.
Yes.
And it appeared that the opportunity to try and do something rather than crib about it. When the campaign team would say, okay, we want to do a bike rally, I would have a problem with that. I would say, look, I'm a fairly competent person. I'm eloquent. I can speak. Yeah. There's so much more to me that I can do that, you know, than just riding a bike.
That's why this is an audio.
And then I think someone said to me that, look, the symbol of you on a bike to a girl who can't choose her next moment is so powerful.
It truly is.
And that you know, what you can communicate by simply riding a bike to thousands of female voters is probably more powerful than any conversation you can have with them.
True.
And the symbolism of that is something that I only realized the significance of many years later.
That and much more coming up on the road ahead. And if you want us to keep bringing to you these delectable stories of motorcycling from India week after week, we need you to follow us on Instagram at Biker Radio Broadcast. Until next time, be good. And if you can't be good, be careful. That was part one of the chat with Gulbanag on India's most savored motorcycling podcast. I'm Shandy, and thank you for your listening. This is the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.